I want us to turn our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Let us turn our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. It says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God before ordained that we should walk in them." Hallelujah. We are his workmanship, and God has ordained us unto good works. Now, my topic for this morning is in the form of a question. And the topic is, why are you still alive? Why are you still alive? And why do you think you are not dead, but you are sitting here? Why do you think that you are not dead, but you are sitting here? Why are you still alive? There are two groups of people who are to answer this question. The first group of people are people who are already born again and have given their life to Jesus. And then the second are people who are not born again and need to be born again. Hallelujah. So to answer the second people first, that you are not born again. So the question, why are you still alive and you are not dead? It means God is giving an opportunity to be born again. God is giving an opportunity to be born again, to join the first group of people, amen, who are giving their life to Jesus and are still alive. So both believers and unbelievers alike are alive. But why are you still alive? This question is also very important because of a story that our bishop tells us when he had an encounter with somebody. He had an encounter with this taxi driver. He was with a taxi driver moving around, and he attempted to witness to the driver, and he was telling him very good things about heaven. That heaven is a nice place. When you go to heaven, you walk on a street of gold. You will never be thirsty again. There will be no broken hearts. Everything is so nice in heaven. And everything will be so nice in heaven. So as he was talking to him, the taxi driver asked him, "So do you believe in all these? Do you believe in all these?" If you are witness to somebody and the person asks you this question, it can be some way. He said, "Do you believe in all these things that you are telling me? That there's a heaven, there's a hell, there's all this, and that heaven is a nice place and everything. Do you believe in it?" Then he said, "Well, I believe. If I didn't believe, I wouldn't tell you that there's a heaven and there's a hell." But then the man asked a very profound question, which is the question of this preaching, that if what you are saying is true, that heaven is such a nice, beautiful place where there will be no weeping, there is no day and night, where there is no sickness, no diseases, no unemployment, where there is nothing like that, why don't you kill yourself and go there? Why don't you kill yourself and go there?" And of course, it's true. There are people who believe that there's prosperity in Las Palmas. There's prosperity in Europe. They are prepared to do everything to go there. That is why this year alone, I think for the first 6 months, I'm not too sure, but here over 2,000 people have died in the Mediterranean Sea trying to cross to Europe. And then countless have died in the desert, trying to even reach the coast of Libya and the rest. Why? Because they are looking for a better life. Then when they rescue them from the boat, when they rescue them from the boat and they go out, they see they'll be shouting and they'll be jubilating because they have escaped the wickedness of African leaders. They have escaped the wickedness of African leaders who don't care Most don't care about their citizens. So they are jubilating that they have gone to the white man's land, where at least, even if they were for 2 hours, they can get some money to do something. So they'll be jubilating. They'll be happy that they have arrived. So it's they are ready to do everything to go to a better place, as it were. So the question of the taxi driver is very tricky, if you like. How many of you believe in heaven? How many of you believe that heaven is a better place than Tema? Are you serious? How many of you think that the roads in heaven are better than the road to your house? Oh, are you serious? Okay. Then, this same question comes to you too. Then, why are you still here on earth? Why don't you kill yourself? Because there's a way to go to heaven. Do you know how to go to heaven? To leave your body and go to heaven. To die and go to heaven. Because it's a better place. Amen. Even we have a song, Rapture says, heaven, my hope, that's where I wanna be. Heaven, my hope. Hey! Your home. When we close from here, everybody will go home. Is that not so? So why don't you die and go to heaven? That is the question. And so, if heaven is a better place, and then Bible also makes us to know that God wants to be with his children. Where God is, he wants his children to be. So if heaven is a better place, then God also wants us to go with him. Then why are we still alive? Why are you alive? Are we alive to build more houses? Are we alive to complete our education? Are you alive just to get married? Is that the reason? There must be more to being alive. Hallelujah. There must be more to being alive. And that is why the question is very, very important. Amen. Now, I want you to know that Bible says God has created you unto good works. He has created you unto good works. It means that there is something God expects you to do. As long as you are alive here on earth, which you will not be needed to do in heaven. You will not be needed to do that in heaven. It's on earth here that you will be needed to do. Hallelujah. And so, that good work that God has given to us must be finished. I want us to turn our Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. 28 and 29. You see, you are alive because God has something for you to do. You are alive because God has something for you to do. And you need to do it. You need to do what you need to do whilst you are alive. So, you see that in Matthew chapter 11, 28, 29, it talks about two things. One, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The first point is that Jesus is saying that, come unto me, and I'll give you rest. Hallelujah. How many of you know that when you give your life to Jesus, he gives you rest? Do you get it? So that's the first part of the verse, that come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. So we are born again. Jesus has taken away our burden. He has taken away our problems. And we have become born again. Hallelujah. And if you are not born again, you have to also take that step to go to Jesus. So that Jesus will help you to put down your burden. The burden are your sins. The burden is the fact that you are not born again. And you need to be born again. It's only Jesus who can make you born again. How does he make you born again? He forgives you of your sins. And then he washes you with his blood. That is how he makes you born again. Amen.
Then the second part is that, that's the next verse. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And again, he ends by saying, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Hallelujah. So you are born again to have rest. Is that not so? He takes away your burden to get rest. And then he now also asks you to take his burden, his yoke, upon you. And that will also what? Give you rest. Amen. So you have rest when you are born again. And then you have rest after you are born again to do why after born again, God doesn't immediately take you up, but leaves you here on earth. Why he doesn't take you immediately up? Because immediately you are born again, Jesus expects you now to take upon you his yoke or his burden, and then you learn of him. That will also guarantee great rest. The reason why so many people are born again, they are Christians, all right, but they cannot seem to have rest, is that when God gave them the first rest by giving them salvation, they didn't continue for the second stage of the rest, which comes by now taking the yoke of Jesus upon you. Hallelujah. And what is the yoke of Jesus? What is the burden of Jesus? Hallelujah. What did Jesus come onto the earth to do? Bible says Christ Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. That is the burden. That is the yoke of Jesus. To seek and to save that which was lost. That is the yoke. So if you really want to have rest, really, I had rest when I was delivered from sin. I had rest when I wouldn't do certain things again, and I was so happy. But then more rest came as I engaged myself in the work of God to take the yoke, the burden of Jesus, the burden of seeing that God's will is done here on earth. Because when Jesus asked the disciples to pray, he showed them one very important that is in the heart of God. And that thing is that he wants his will to be done on earth. And what is his will? That none should be lost. Are you getting me? So, as you are here this morning and you are born again, you are a believer, I want you to know that it's about time you took the burden, the yoke, the work of Jesus. What Jesus came to do, and it must be very important. The whole God, when he became a man, he didn't become a bank manager. That means it wasn't important to him. He didn't become a doctor. That means it wasn't important to him. He didn't become a driver. It means it wasn't important to him. He didn't do so many. He didn't become a mason. He didn't become an architect. In fact, he didn't become a lawyer. That was not important to him. To him, the most important thing that should ever be done on earth, with the short time he had, with the short period he had, as you are sitting here, if you went to hospital and they told you that you have 3 months to die, you have this short time to die, apart from your faith that you will not die, you shall live and declare the works of the Lord. Do you get it? But you were given 3 months that you are going to die and have some important decisions to make. Do you think that you have time to worry yourself with frivolous and unimportant things? Do you think that's what you will do? No. You will immediately think about very, very important things. Hallelujah. And when Jesus came, he had only 33 years. And of the 33 years, he only had 3 years to do what he had to do the important things. And for that 3 years, he will not have time to worry himself with so many other things. So he only go for the main thing. You know, like these days, many organizations say that they are doing retrenchment, they are trimming down, they are laying off workers, and they want to do their core business. And then they would give their transport to Agape or Agate to manage for them. Do you know? Because their main job is to, if you like, produce cement. It's not to become transport owners and be doing that. There's somebody whose main job is to provide those things. Do you get it? So let them do what they have to do, but let us do our main work. Do you get it? It's like the church. It's like the church. The church's main job, the church's main job is to do the work of God and to lead people to Christ. Do you get it? When it comes to building of schools, they have Ministry of Education. They have Ministry of Education. When they were interviewing the Ministry of Education for at Parliament, I heard what he said. He could say, nobody has come to interview any pastor about your plans for free education, your plans for models. Nobody has come to interview any pastor for that, because that is not our core business. Do you get it? That's not our core business. When they were interviewing the Minister for Roads and Highways, everybody saw who is supposed to build roads and who is supposed to do highways in our land. It's not the pastor. Do you get it? Did you hear at Parliament, the appointment committee, did you hear any of them ask any minister, what are you going to do about souls in Ghana? Did you hear anything like that? What are you going to do about souls in Ghana? What are you going to do about those who are going to die and go to hell? Did you hear anything like that? You didn't hear anything, because that is not their business. Do you get it? So whose business is that? It's the church. It's the church. So if the church now leaves our core business, and that we also now begin to build roads, begin to build schools, so that we become relevant in society. Being relevant to society doesn't mean you are relevant to God. It doesn't mean you are relevant to God. Society can give you awards, society can say all manner of things, but it doesn't mean you are relevant to God. Do you get it? It is better to be relevant to both God and society. That means that you do the first things first. Amen. I want to say that the burden of Jesus must be the burden of the church. And when you take the burden of Jesus, you have rest. And the burden of Jesus is to save souls. So he did the main thing. He did the main thing. As a church, everything we have done today, when we finish church, the main thing will be when people will give their life to Jesus. That will be the main thing. Do you get it? So if you have a church, and then after everything, nobody is saved, people are not giving their life to Jesus, it is the same as a factory that is producing nothing. That's producing nothing. Are you getting what I'm saying? So Jesus spent the last three, because he knew he would die. So he spent the last 3 years of his life preciously, effectively. And what did he use it for? He went from town to town, city to city, place to place, teaching people, telling them. He gave them stories about heaven and hell. He told them about the importance of man, that man is not man. You get it? You ask me why? Why is man not man? It means you are not you. But man is a spirit. He spent a lot of time. When Nicodemus came to him to ask him a question, even Nicodemus came to give him fans to praise him. Oh! You are the best church. You are the best preacher. Oh, Jesus, you are great. Just look, Nicodemus, all this that you are saying, it doesn't matter. Except you are born again. Praising me, being in the church, giving tithes, giving offerings, all will not amount to anything. Except you are born again. Hey, you know, he didn't have time to go because he had only 3 years. You see, so the 3 years makes us to see that he did the most important thing a man should do. So as far as I'm concerned, the most important person in your life is your pastor. Why?
Because he's doing the best job in the world. The most important person in your life is the minister for moon and stars. And that one day you'll be happy.
It's your pastor. Of course, I'm doing the work that Jesus did. Your pastor is doing the work that Jesus did. That's the most important job. And if you also want to like, you can come. You are invited. Amen. You are invited to join so that we all work together. Hallelujah. Of course, people are helping in diverse ways and other means. Amen. So, you are alive. And Jesus said that once you are alive, take my yoke upon thee. I mean, do the work I came to do. That's the only reason why you are alive. So I want to tell you, dear friend, every one of us here, if God didn't have any use for you, you would have died by now. You would have died by now. But because God still has some use for you, some of us, when we go every now and then, the men do it more than the women. But every now and then, you go through your room and throw away things you don't need, isn't it?
Yeah.
Throw away things you don't need, including things that your wife has put in the room. You understand? I'm going to talk to you. Your wife has put the room. You take all away, including empty bottles, perfume that are finished. You throw it away, isn't it? Don't you? Wonderful. So, as long as the thing is still in the room, it means there is some use for it. That means that as long as I am alive today, God still has some use for me. I mean, I must be useful to God, isn't it? Yes. And you must be useful to God. You must be useful to God. And what do you think God wants you to do? He wants you to win souls. He wants you to win souls. That every opportunity that you get, he wants you to win. So if you build a house for somebody, it's good, but it's not useful to God. Do you get it? It's useful. But what I'm saying is that the main thing is most useful. Do you get it? So take his burden. Let his burden burn in your heart that what God came to do is what I want to do. And you will have rest. That is when you will see that things that you don't even expect. You know, recently, I was watching one television program, and they were discussing about giving. And those on the panel, one was an atheist, another of another religion, and then they called somebody who is lecturing somewhere to come in. I think he lectures psychology of religions. And then they were talking. As they were talking, and they were talking about giving, I knew how they would end it. I just knew. I was just waiting for it. And you know what I was expecting them to say? That the pastors are enriching themselves by the way people are giving. I was just expecting it. Do you get it? Why was I expecting? Because see, and as I was listening, I said, you see, in the minds of so many people, they expect that the pastor will be a very poor person. There are two reasons why the pastor should be poor. There are two reasons. One, from the devil. So that when you are poor, you don't have a say. You know, a poor man doesn't have a say. You get it? Even if you are wise, nobody listens to you. Even if you are wise, nobody listens to you. Yes. You get it? And there are some people, if you like, there are some people, even in this church, there are some people that have money. You get it? And if you give them the chance, they want to rule the church. Do you get it? But when they come, they realize you don't need their money. Because you're also not poor. Do you get it? So you don't need their money. Do you get it? So that's one of the reasons Satan wants the church to be poor. So that you're always going around begging. So even when you have to say to somebody what you are doing is wrong, you are thinking of your daily bread. You are the person, the one who gives you fuel coupon to buy fuel in your car. So that you depend on him or her to give you coupon to buy fuel in your car. Do you get it? But what they don't know is that whether you give or not, even you, with your rural bank you are working, they are able to take care of you. You think if you leave the church, God can't take care of his own? You are joking. Let's be serious. Let us be serious. What I'm saying is not true. You would think that it was a good thing they are saying. But as far as I'm concerned, I don't know about you, but as far as I'm concerned, if you work at a place and they can take care of you, and if you think I've not worked before, I've worked before, and I've worked at the Bank of Ghana. I didn't work at Fabadia, but to the Rural Bank. Do you get it? So, I know that they have to take care of you. God will take care of you. Governor will take care of you. MD will take... No, my friend, I never heard anybody sing this song that... I only hear God will take care of you. Do you get it? So, as they were talking, and I knew that that is how, what they will come to. Of course. Look, we are not in a perfect world. You always have these things in our midst. That's why somebody went to Jesus and said, look, the good seed that you sowed, when we went, we realized that someone has come to us who put other seed in it. So now we don't know which one is which. You know what Jesus said is the wisest thing you should ever do. He told them, look, don't touch it. When you touch it, you remove both the good and the bad. But they look alike. You can see the difference. The leaf of the wheat is the same as the tares. You can't find the difference. So in attempting to be God, attempting to be wiser than God, you will just take the good and the bad. So you just leave it. Leave it. He knows how he will take care of it. Leave it. And then you pray to God, and Lord, direct me to do what is right. It's as simple as that. Direct me to, and give me the mind you created me with. Help me to use it small, to analyze and to see that this is this and this is that. That's what God has given you mind. And you think the mind is a small thing. You look like those who are trying to do robot. If they could do the mind, then they would make human beings. It's not easy to do the man to think and to do this. And no, you can't do that. So it makes you to see that. So what I'm saying is that as they were talking and they were talking, I just knew that they don't know that, look, the greatest work on earth and the greatest person to work for is God. And then he says that when you take my yoke on me, you have rest. Amen. So, in short, Jesus came to do the most important thing in life. Hallelujah. And anybody who takes the yoke of Jesus and says, I will also help you carry this load, I promise you, you shall have rest. On your right, on your left, in front, at the back, goodness and mercies shall follow you. Everywhere you look, you will see solutions. You see blessings. The Philistines can cry. That's why God told Isaac that the Philistines shall be envious of you. About four. Philistines, about four. Philistines, about four. Because you cannot carry God's burden and sleep and not have rest. And that is why I know that there are several people here. The blessing that God is going to pour on you, the blessing that God is going to pour on you, and when is that blessing coming? Just get ready. Tell your friend, not if you get ready. Abutre, get ready. It will come like a flood, like this. And you will see that, yeah, the Lord, he is God. Why am I saying that? Because I see your zeal. I see your heart. I see the way you are going out to witness to souls. I see the way you are bringing food. You have taken the yoke. You have taken the yoke. And all of us have something to do. If you look at the power of the talent in Matthew chapter 25, I think verse 14 following, you see that everybody has something to do. You see, Paul said he gave one, five, he gave another two, he gave another one. Is it 2, 5, 1? Yeah, he gave one, 500, 200. Yours may be one, but you still are relevant. God, you are still relevant to God. You are still important to God. As long as you are alive,
as long as you are alive. When you die, there's no soul to win. But as long as you are alive, you are still relevant to God. So church, let's be relevant to God. Tell your friend, be relevant from today. Take Jesus' burden on yourself. Be relevant. Do something important and stop this thing that you are doing. Tell your friend, be serious from today. And let's do important things in life. And when you see somebody who is doing an important thing, like support the person, encourage the person, and say, Charlie, this thing you are doing, it is the best thing one can ever do. How I wish I could also do some. That's what you have to do. That resentment you have for people who work for God is the reason why you work for 3 months, you have not received any salary. That's the reason why. That's why people owe you and they've not paid. Because of that mind you have. But you are delivered in the name of Jesus. So I said there are two groups of people. The one is that after God has helped you to put down your burden, then now you have to now take the yoke of God. Do you get it? Look, the yoke of God also means the work of God. So you see all these pastors sitting here, they've taken a yoke upon them. Most of them are lay pastors. Most of them, only two are full-time pastors. All of them are lay pastors. Lecturers, bankers, accountants, lawyers, architects, they're all here. Do you get it? They are taking the yoke. And they're also working for God. Lay pastor means that they work for God free. And they have taken the yoke upon themselves. It's a blessing. Hallelujah. Do you know one of the things? Anytime even we do fundraising in the church, the people who give the highest are the lay pastors. It even makes me think that the more you do the work of God, the more you even break through. You can have two accountants in the same place. You are doing the day, so one who is a lay pastor will give more than the one who is not. Because not that he doesn't have. The other one, he doesn't have anything. But the one who has taken himself to the plow, even what he has is a loan. But the one who has put his hand in the plow and is doing the work, God is blessing both the work and everything. That's all. And those who are seriously involved, you see them passing their exams. You see them getting promoted. You see them being blessed. Hallelujah. So if you are here and you have a burden. You cannot carry Jesus' burden if you have a burden. Is it because you yourself, you have a burden? How can you help somebody? You get it? It's like somebody came to you in the morning, say, can you loan me 5,000? Then you are owing somebody 20,000. You get it? How can you hear the person? You tell the person, look, you... what you have, if you don't take it, I'll collect and add to mine, go and pay my bills. That is why you have to be born again. Hallelujah. You have not given your life to Jesus. Jesus wants to help you to lay down your burden. He loves you so much. He doesn't want you to have problems. What is the burden? The burden is cigarette. The burden is women. The burden is stealing. The burden is lying. Your burden is lying. It's doing all those things. Now, someone can help you. All those things causes you to sin. But the main sin is rejecting Jesus Christ. But those things are manifestations of rejection of Jesus Christ. But when you come to Jesus, he will now help you to put down your burden. And his spirit will come and live in you. And then you see that suddenly your problems will be no more by the grace of God. And then that problem is your burden, is no more. The other problem you have with you still will be, maybe if you are owing, and God born again today, you still owe. You get it? Jesus will not come here and say, I'm now paying your bills for you. No. That one, it will come as you serve God. As you serve God, as you take his burden. And then he gradually, by the time you realize, your problems are solved. Amen. But deal with your problem by giving your life to Jesus. And you will be saved. You have rest for your soul. Those of you in church who are also born again, anywhere you go, if you carry the burden of Jesus, you will see that every front you find rest. Is there any place you are finding unrest? You can assure yourself, say, let me go and win a soul. These days, if you have any problem, just tell yourself, one soul, one problem solved. And some that depend on your problem, you say, no, I'm targeting three souls. This problem, I'm targeting three souls. Bring those souls to church. But then you realize, you don't know where the problem is. Did I used to have this problem? Or you forget that you even had that problem. You be trying to remember when was the last time you owed anybody money. You try to remember. Because it would have gone so far from you that you will not even remember. May this be your story. In Jesus' name, let's bow down our heads. Let's bow down our heads. Father, it is only your spirit that can convict our hearts, that can bring understanding to the words that I have spoken. I pray that by your spirit, everyone sitting here would understand what I have preached, so that we will do this word for our rest in the name of the Lord Jesus. Deep down in your heart, you are not too sure whether you are saved or not. You don't know whether you go to heaven or hell when you die. And you want to say, Pastor, I want you to pray for me so that Christ will help me lay down my burden and wash me with his blood. I want this Jesus in my heart. I want this Jesus as my Lord and personal Savior. So, Pastor, pray for me to give my life to Jesus. You want me to pray for you to give your life to Jesus. I want you to say this with me. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for today. I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He came to die
for my sins.
And today,
I confess him
with my mouth as my Lord
and my Savior.
Thank you, Lord Jesus,
that from this moment,
I am born again.
And I am yours.
And you are mine.
And you are mine.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.